This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundworks, the magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello and welcome to this, the 23rd edition of Sound Blast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson and I'm in Bowness with the indefatigable David Bytheway, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Sound Blast. One of the most prominent features of Bowness Station is the train shed from Haymarket. The train shed was originally built for the terminus of the Edinburgh and Glasgow Railway. It's a tribute to the ironworkers of early Victorian times. And with me is Mr. Ian Ballantyne, a direct descendant of the founding father of Ballantyne Bowness Ironworks, a company which is keeping alive the traditions of iron founding. Good morning, Mr. Ballantyne.
Good morning.
The Royal Commission on the Ancient and Historical Monuments of Scotland describes Haymarket train shed in these words. Planned by John Miller and built in Edinburgh between 1840 and 1842, Haymarket train shed has a dentilled cornice and features fluted cast iron columns with ornate capitals, which support an elliptical arched arcade with decorative spandrels. I think you know what they're talking about.
Yes, this is common railway construction of the 19th century and was done by foundries all over Britain with the huge growth in the railway network. These columns would have been cast individually. The capitals would have probably been fitted to them, usually with a wrought iron bolt or a brass set screw and then concealed. The spandrels would have been made loose and fitted in the same way with wrought iron bolts, and the dentilled cornice work would have been a separate casting which sat on top of the cornice, and all three would have been fitted together on site, although they probably would have been trial erected in the foundry, as the Saracen foundry did in Glasgow, for instance, for all its export work, where every cast iron structure was put together and numbered before being sent abroad.
And you will still make direct equivalents of all of those parts today, don't you? Yes?
Well, very fortunately, a lot of cast iron today that was made in the 19th century is 150 plus years old. It's done extremely well, it's had a hard working life, and it needs to be replaced. And we're one of the few companies left who have the skills still to make and fit these castings.
Your family's been in this business, what, 160, 180 years? Something of that order? And looking at the Haymarket train shed, which would be made, I don't know how far back, how many generations back in your family, it's a wonderfully decorative structure, and you still make them. What is it that's so fascinating about this working with iron?
It's a funny question, that one. What is so fascinating about it is making money, which is what was done from the very outset, and the skills were developed. It is immensely satisfying to make and erect ornamental structures, whether modern or Victorian, and obviously the whole workforce takes a pride in it because they are quite high profile and generally in public places. But if you're not making money, there's no point in doing it.
But before we start our tour of the foundry, let's catch up with a little of the history of the cast iron train shed and how it came to be moved to Bowness, where it is one of the features of the railway. The late John Burney, a well-respected railway enthusiast and historian, was responsible for organising the taking down of this building and its re-erection in Bowness. Here he is talking about the train shed in the 1980s.
The Edinburgh and Glasgow Railway was the first main line to be built in Scotland. opened in 1842. The original terminus was at Edinburgh Haymarket, and the station was constructed in very typical style for those days, a large cast iron and wrought iron structure spanning the platform tracks. These buildings can be seen in many early lithographs of the railways and at the dawn of the railway era between 1840 and 1860. Very, very few such structures actually survived beyond the turn of the century. Most were knocked down and in station redevelopments which took place subsequently. Haymarket, therefore, was a remarkable survivor of the early era of the railway. It survived because the redeveloped line at Haymarket bypassed the structure in the course of tunnelling underneath Edinburgh to arrive at Waverley Station. By 1982, Haymarket original structure was entirely redundant, becoming dangerous, and BR were very keen to carry out a remodelling exercise at Haymarket. The SRPS moved in a joint project with the entire cooperation of British Railways, dismantled carefully the structure at Haymarket, moved it by road to Bowness, and carefully re-erected it there. In the course of that, a great deal of assistance was forthcoming from Sir Robert McAlpin and Sons Limited, who did much of the project management. It's a natural feature of a cast iron building that it comes in fairly convenient to handle sections because of the necessity to manufacture in reasonably small pieces. So the exercise at Haymarket consisted simply of finding out how the jigsaw had been put together in 1842 and then reversing the process and taking it down again. That was done very successfully, and the final building as we erected it at Bowness well represents how the structure was in its original days at Edinburgh. Once the structure was complete, a grand reopening ceremony was organised, and to celebrate that, the National Railway Museum's replica of a rocket was delivered to Bowness to carry passengers through the reopened structure. Now, rocket dates from 1829, the train shed is 1842, so the two are very much of the same early period. The train shed, as re-erected at Bowness, is a celebration of the Victorians' delight in architectural cast ironwork, and is a real triumph of the moulder's craft.
The late John Burney. And so, to the foundry.
Good morning, boys. Welcome to Ballantyne's Foundry here in Bowness. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much indeed, Jim. This is Jim Brooks, who's the buyer for the Ballantyne Bowness Iron Company. And we have crossed Links Road from Haymarket train shed, and I'm holding in my hand a picture of the ramp at Edinburgh Waverley Station. Jim, tell me why I've got this picture.
Well, this is the first step in lots of steps you'll see today, and this is our pattern shop that we're in, and this is one of the many jobs that we do there. We're refurbishing the ramps up and down at Waverley, and on the drawing you see there, everything's cast iron. And we even had the large lamp posts, which were getting a wee bit long in the tooth there. We had them back to the foundry and we've refurbished them. So that's one of the many jobs we've done round and about Scotland.
And this is the pattern shop. Now, what's happening here?
Yeah, that's right. Life starts here. You know, these guys are really, really skillful. I mean, anybody that can get a block of wood and turn it into something as nice as that is incredible. Very skillful, long apprenticeship. But people will maybe send us drawings in. They'll send us old photographs of what their house used to be like. They want the railings to be what they were before the war. And we're in a position to do that now. So that's big business for us.
And these men are woodworkers?
Oh, no, they're pattern makers.
They're pattern makers, but they work in
You wouldn't wood. Do it here alive if you called them a joiner.
I'd be careful not to do that.
No, but they're pattern makers, time serve, yes they are.
And it's wood they work in?
Woods, plastics, even, you know, remember Stuckey, you know, the old Stuckey,
yes,
Stuckey,
yes,
powder.
Yeah.
They even do some of the parts, some that's got to be round would be working with it with Stuckey. But many materials, but in the main wood, yes.
So this is where it starts.
Indeed it is.
And where do we go from here?
We are going down through the pattern shop, down the stairs, down to the yard, to the furnace area, and we'll let you see the furnace and the moulding shop.
Okay.
So here we go.
Oh, now there's my car for you.
you come. Down the stairs. And away we go.
Guys, please.
This is the next stage in the production here. We've arrived at the heavy end moulding shop, and as you see in front of you there, from the pattern shop, we've come downstairs into the moulding shop, and this is an ornamental panel that has been hand carved. So you can see the skills involved there, getting something like this, you know, from a block of wood to this. Our heavy end moulding shop, so called because of the larger heavy castings are made here. Such as this, such as post boxes, such as ornamental lamp posts, the aforementioned Waverley station ramps up and down, the sections and the parapets were made and in this section here.
And this is actually a casting here? This is the casting?
No, this in front of us is a pattern.
This is the pattern.
And, you know, the boys will put that in a moulding box,
right.
Fill it with sand, take the pattern out, you'll be left with the shape in the sand, and then the molten metal will be poured in.
And I see the letters BB here, Ballantine Bowness?
I haven't noticed
could
that
be.
Before, but it could well be Ballantine, but I would think it almost certainly is, yeah.
And on we go. Right, Jim, we're looking into the furnace area. Tell me what's happening now, Jim.
That's the molten metal is now ready. The men are ready to cast the metal. And the full unit in front of you, as you see there, it tilts up and the molten metal is poured into the ladle.
Uh-huh.
When that's filled up, the forklift will come forward there, it'll pick up the ladle, and it'll then take it into the Greenson moulding shop to our left there, and the boys are ready to cast the metal.
Now, the Greensand moulding shop, that's where What should I call them? Decorative castings, I mean?
The guys that work in there, they're very, very talented, and anything that's kind of bespoke or a one-off or really ornamental would be made in there, as against the self-set plant, which is a sort of wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, if you want. But these guys are very, very talented.
So the self-set plant is the production line job?
Yeah, the high volumes.
Uh-huh.
If we're making railway castings and we've maybe got 50 to 100 to make, it would be made there.
Yeah. And the men who work in the skilled area, they're the moulders.
Well, they're all classed as moulders
all
there.
Classed
yes,
moulders.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. I think they've got to do an apprenticeship of something like about 4 or 5 years. It takes a long time to get there, but luckily you can see young Stuart there. Gordon's taking him under his wing there, the young lad that was helping Gordon there.
Yes.
So it's nice to see some of the apprentices coming on and getting the skills that have been passed on.
Somewhat, about 6-8 weeks ago, I was in a Murano glass factory in Venice,
mm-hmm.
and I was told there that they're afraid in Venice that the skills of Murano glass are going to be lost. It's an 8-year apprenticeship,
wow.
And young men don't want to spend 8 years learning a craft.
I would think that's fair. I mean, I think a lot of the youngsters these days, I mean, they're wanting to do computer work and things like that. I think that reflects in society, though, because there's not as many football players either, is there?
True.
I mean, you know, the people didn't want to do the traditional skills. Luckily in here, most people that work here live in Bowness, and their fathers or uncles might have worked here before.
It's
handed
a family
down.
Tradition.
Yeah, yeah. And now that's the molten metal coming through here now. As you see, it'll just glide past us and into the molding shop, and then we'll go on to the next stage.
And now we've come across to the green sand area where the metal is being transferred initially from the big ladle, which was brought through from the furnace area, to small hand ladles for taking to the individual castings. And the men are pouring, shower of sparks there, the liquid metal is poured in at each end of, now what would I call that, Jim, the casting, what, the mould?
Yeah, the moulding boxes are on the floor there, and the metal's coming from the ladle into the hand ladles, and as you see there, the men are filling up the moulding boxes. And we saw earlier we had some ornamental castings in there, the treads,
yes.
And the ornamental panels and what have you.
And these moulds, these ladles are seriously heavy, aren't they?
Well, it's a man's job. I think there's about 56 pounds or something in one of them there, so pretty heavy. You've got to be pretty fit to do the job, and very skillful.
You've also got to be very careful you don't miss the hole you're putting into.
Well, that's right, but most of them, as you see, young Stuart, he's the apprentice, he's been here a couple of years now, but most of them are, well, they've been here a long, long time and probably worked with their brothers and fathers as well.
I'm not sure I would like to do that. It seems to me that one is alarmingly close to hot metal, which bursts into flames readily.
It's the way it's been done for many hundreds of years now, since the era of time. A lot of things are done under the cran, but this is the old traditional way of doing it.
Well, we've now turned round in the casting shop and we're looking across. Well, Jim, you tell me what we're looking at now. The castings I'm seeing now are...
Yep, they're the railway castings there. You know, things have moved on since the old railway chairs and the rail and the sleepers there. So there are lots of variations of different railway castings, and they're made in this section right in front of us up that you see there.
Tell me about the sand that's being used here.
Well, that's self-set sand. It's, as opposed to the green sand there, it's, you know, it's mixed there. A sand mixer comes down, mixes with the chemicals, and it just sets, basically like a jelly, but obviously a lot harder. And, it, you know, the definition of the moulds will be inside there in the railway castings.
And essentially, this is what, a mass production process, because you're doing a large number of castings.
100% correct, that is correct, yeah.
And it's poured from the big ladle.
Yeah, it's poured from the furnace to the ladle directly into the self-set boxes. That's
right.
Correct. It wouldn't be done by the hand method. No.
And the castings we made here are, in fact, for rail track, are they?
Yes, they are.
Network rail, I should say nowadays.
Oh, right. Indeed, that's the one. There's so many people doing it these days, but they are railway castings.
Now, Jim, I think you said this is the finishing shop. And I see here what I recognise as a casting for the ramp at Edinburgh Waverley Station.
Yep, 100% you're correct there. We're doing that job, as we mentioned earlier there, and this is Ballantyne Engineering, and they're our right arm, and they prepare and fit everything here and on site at Waverley. And as you can see, the castings lying there, there's a lot of work to be done because they're big castings, but there's many jobs done in here, yes.
And tell me about some of the other things that you have here in this Ballantyne Engineering.
Yes, yeah.
The sister company.
Yeah, the sister company, owned by the same man. Mr. Ballantyne owns everything here, you see, but... Fencing, you know, if we're doing any fancy fencing, be it for Edinburgh or Glasgow there, we make all the castings in the foundry, or the ornamental things, and then the framework for it is made up in steel here. It's all bolted together and welded together, and then it gets ready to go out on site and fitted on site.
And I see here, I would call that, what, a grill?
Yes, that's correct. You know, if you can imagine, if you're at a garden centre, you know how you walk in between the plants and what have you? It's a floor grill, and they let the sort of moss and algae grow up through it, so it gives it a nice effect, but it's very hard wearing.
And the decorative one?
Yeah, the same again. You know, another job we do in here is we do a lot of spiral staircases and ornamental staircases.
Yes, we do.
It's incredible. So that would be maybe a top landing for a spiral stair. Yes.
And if I want a cannon for my castle, I understand I can come to you.
You can, because the cannons at Edinburgh Castle were made here. Yes, they were.
Do they work?
I wouldn't think the people in Princes Street would be very happy about that, but no, they're purely ornamental.
They're purely ornamental.
Yes, ma'am.
Jim, that has been a pleasure. We've got one more bit in the process, which is the paint shop.
Yes, we're going down there to see some of the finished products, and that'll let you give an idea of the quality that's going out
and
here. Yes,
see what the customer gets.
Indeed you will.
That'll be good. And now we've moved into a warehouse where there's a wonderful smell of paint. And I'm standing beside the most glorious cast iron gates. They are enormous and hugely complex. Jim, tell me more about these.
Yes, these are the gates and railings for Duthie Park up in Aberdeen. It's a project that's been on the go now for about 6 to 9 months, I think. And we've been commissioned to do all the fencing round about the park and the gates. And you're right, they are fantastic. The ornamentation on them is great, but it just shows you what you can achieve with cast iron. Lovely job.
Jim Brooks from Ballantyne Bowness Iron Company, thank you very much for taking us around. We've moved to the warmth of the visitors' waiting room in the Ballantyne Bowness Iron Company's premises. It's still part of their original building, dating back to Queen Victoria's earliest years. And I'm joined by Ron Hill, who's a trustee of the Scottish Railway Collections Trust, a steam enthusiast throughout his life, who's responsible for leading the team which has restored many steam locomotives. Ron, tell me about the significance and importance of iron to the railway industry.
Well, without iron foundries, the railway could never have got going in the first place. It was, and still is, totally dependent on cast iron, which we've seen here today at Ballantyne's. And cast iron is widely used in the railway industry, still is. For steam engines, it was absolutely essential, and there was all sorts of components that were originally made of iron, cast iron, that is. Later, some of these components were welded fabrications for cheapness, but they never had the durability or the long-lastingness of a quality cast iron product. And while the railway has changed a lot, it's still dependent on cast iron for base plates, for rails, and for diesel locos, for the crankcases and the cylinder blocks for diesel locos are still totally dependent on cast iron. There has been moves for various people to replace it by other materials, but if the truth be told, there are very, very few things that come even halfway as suitable as a good quality cast iron.
And I know that you're responsible for the acquisition of many of the parts that are used across the road in the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's premises. Does the society buy from Ballantyne's?
We do buy from Ballantyne's. We have a problem sometimes in getting patterns. You have seen the patterns in the pattern store there. We sometimes have problems getting patterns, so we have to get stuff cast where the patterns are, because people are very reluctant to part with patterns because they're very expensive to make. But we get stuff cast here, iron work here, especially fire bars, which we go through quite a lot of in the steam engines. The fire bars, especially with the poor quality coal we get now, all the best coal's been dug out and burnt. The stuff we get now is pretty poor, and we tend to get clinker, and we get quite a short life for our fire bars.
And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. You can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, all lowercase. That's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at Sound Blast, 2 words this time with initial capitals, Sound Blast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The editor and producer has been David Bytheway, and I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Bonnie, Scotland.